Thank you for checking out the Mercy Hill Church Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about Mercy Hill, you can visit us on the web at mercyhill.cc.
Well, this morning we have the privilege, in July we do something called Pew to the Pulpit. And one of our values as a church is that we resist the professionalization of ministry, meaning we see ministry as something that we want everyone to engage in at Mercy Hill Church. And so there's very few, I can't really think of anything that we do here that is only done by the pastors, whether it's baptisms or preaching or sharing God's word or praying for people or whatever. We want everyone, all hands on deck, everyone involved in this. So part of this is allowing and giving space for other people to come forward and share God's word. And so this morning, Greg Meyer is going to share God's word with us. And so we're excited, and let's just welcome Greg.
Good morning. Happy 4th of July, everybody. All right. Well, I'm a little bit nervous to be up here, but I'm going to go for it anyways. I'm going to start this morning with a quote. It's a very familiar quote from Mark Twain. Actions speak louder than words, but not nearly as often. What I'll be talking about this morning is some of the decisions that my parents made when I was growing up and how those really shaped me and affected me. So a little bit of an overview of my childhood. I was really blessed to grow up in a Christian family with parents who loved God and who loved me well and taught me about Jesus and really just took good care of me. So I want to talk about two things that they did that really impacted me. The first thing has to do with where I grew up, the town we lived in. I lived in South Holland, which is in Illinois. It's about 15 minutes from here. And during that time, when I was a child, South Holland went through what's called like a white flight. Over the course of like 10 years, it went from a town that was like a majority Caucasian white people to a town that was mostly African American. And, that's not something that's unique to that town in any time or place. It's happened in a lot of places. But my parents chose to stay. And that really had an impact on me because it said a lot of things. They were really making a statement by saying that when a lot of their peers were choosing to move out to farther neighborhood, farther towns, newer house, whatever, I observed over time through their actions and even what they said to me that it was something that was an intentional decision they were making and it was really important to them. They were making a statement not about hostility, like we're going to stay here, we're going to not give up our town, we're going to keep it how we want it. They were really making a statement for the gospel. They were making a statement against social prejudices, and they were, I saw that they valued people of different backgrounds. I could see them get to know their new neighbors the same way they got to know our old neighbors. And we really stayed connected in the community and doing sports and going to other community things. It wasn't like they shut down in this new, as the community changed a little bit. It was also a statement in some ways that we didn't need a new house, a bigger house, to be happy. We didn't need to keep up with necessarily what other people were doing. So these things really affected me. Thinking back on them, I really see like that really gave me a sense of openness to people who are different than me and really helped me, growing up with kids who are different than me, helped me relate to people that were different. It was just kind of a natural thing. I also think it gave me, in some ways, a sense of humility. Like I wasn't living in the neighborhood with all the rich kids and I didn't have like the sense of entitlement that can kind of come from that. So the second big thing that they did growing up was We actually switched churches. Like I said, they were Christians, and I grew up going to church. But when I was in junior high, well, I guess a little bit of backstory again. My parents have like a summer cottage that's up in Michigan, and every weekend we would go up there. But we didn't just go up on vacation. We still went to church because that was really important to them. So the church we were going to up there was a lot different than our home church. Our home church was pretty traditional, and it was mostly Dutch people, just everyone kind of the same, and it was internally focused. It wasn't really missionally focused. But the church we were going to when we were away during the summer was really, it was a church plant, and it was really outward focused, and they let go of some traditions to be a little more relevant to people in the culture. And that really had an impact on my parents. After a while, they really desired to see some of those things in their own church and in their own life. So they had a couple years of really trying to see some of those changes happen back in their home church. And that really impacted me because I got to hear them talk about their faith and why it was important to them. And make a long story short, there wasn't a lot of change that was being accepted in their church. So we ended up finding a new church family that was in our community that really lined up with a lot of those values. But that wasn't an easy decision for them, and it took time, and they had to work through it and a lot of conversations with people. So it took some faith to do that. So again, that really affected me just by getting to hear them talk about their faith. It also really showed me that their faith was important to them, and the gospel and the message of carrying the gospel out to people outside the church was important to them. So I really, that kind of, having grown up in church, that really piqued my interest a little more and opened up my heart a little more as they were really setting that example for me. All of a sudden, I was like taking this a little more seriously. It wasn't just something we did, church, but I really saw that it was an important part of their life. So, what can we, you know, I'm saying these things to show that how they lived their life really impacted me. So what can we learn from this? I think we need to remember that people are watching how we live, our family, our friends, coworkers. People notice the things we do and the decisions we make, even some of the big things and even some of the little things. They don't go unnoticed. And really, the way we live our life impacts other people. We have influence over our family and friends, and there's people in all of our lives that I think look up to us, even maybe coworkers that see us and they're really attracted to the way we live. And my parents really showed me, not by just what they said, but what they did, that what they believed really mattered to them. And it really, some of the things they modeled really impacted me. Like I said, I think humility is something that I got from them by not having to always have the best and the latest and not having that sense of entitlement and just being accepting of other people. That wasn't something that might have come naturally. In the end, there was really a reason that my parents made these decisions. They weren't just what they wanted to do. They knew Jesus, and because Jesus changed their lives and really meant so much to them, it called them to do these decisions that were maybe against culture or were maybe not the easy things to do. But in the end, even though that I had this good example and they taught me good values, I had to still choose to follow Christ myself. I still had to realize that I was a sinner and I couldn't just do good things that didn't guarantee me salvation. And so for me, choosing to follow Christ isn't necessarily a radical story. When I think back on when I was in junior high, I can kind of pinpoint a time in my life when I chose to follow Christ. I was at a church youth group retreat, not something that's uncommon. And the gospel was clearly presented, and I was really, for the first time, just blown away by how much God loves me and that he would send his son to earth to take the punishment for all my sin. And so I just chose to follow him and chose to commit to him at that point. And so really, Jesus is the reason that we do any of these good things, that we try to help people, that we try to love one another. It's because he first loved us, and he welcomed us, and he served us on this earth. So I really just want to encourage parents. What you do and how you live your life, your kids see that, and it is going to impact them. It's like such a long-term thing, but when I think back, I was really shaped by the choices they made and the attitudes that they imparted to me. So just be encouraged that what you're doing is going to impact your kids. And even more broadly than that, for parents, I think we can really see that we can show the gospel to people by how we live. We can model love. We can show compassion, and people are going to see that, and they're going to wonder, why is that? And that's another way that we can really preach the gospel through how we live. And a lot of times our actions can really be the most powerful demonstration. I think for me, my parents could have told me, you know, you need to love people. You need to respect different cultures. You need to embrace different people. But if they hadn't done it themselves, you know, it might not have really even hit home with me at all. So I think I went kind of fast through that. But, yeah, that's what was on my heart. You want me to pray? Or? Okay. Father in heaven, I just thank you for your love for us, Lord. Thank you for Jesus coming to this earth and living and dying and paying the price for our sins, Lord. I thank you that we can have new life in him. Lord, I ask that you would help us to live intentionally, Lord. I ask you to help us to remember that everything we do can point back to you, and help us to want to bring glory to you and honor you. Pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Greg. I think there's some real practical implications of an encouragement like that, and there's some real practical kind of attachment points where each of us, is, if we take a moment and examine our own lives, we can find places where a word like that speaks to the way I live my life, to what I'm doing, to the people who watch me or the people who I might have influence over. As Greg was sharing, I was reminded of something we covered not too long ago in our series on Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, end of chapter 10, beginning of chapter 11. Paul's writing about the Corinthian church, and it's kind of a mess. And essentially, the summary of this section of Corinthians is 10 verse 24. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. And he's talking about how I'll say no to things that I have a right to. I'll say no to those things for the good of the people God puts around me. I'll intentionally make a choice and say no to something to benefit or to encourage my brother or sister in Christ, the people around me. And as Paul kind of unpacks all this in 1 Corinthians 10, right at the beginning of chapter 11, he issues this command, really. He says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. And as Greg was sharing, talking about his parents and the example that they were to him, whether they ever actually said that to Greg or not, that's really the message they were conveying, right? Imitate us. Like, as his parents are making these choices, you know the desires of their heart is,
man, we want our children to grow up and to love Christ and to make decisions based on what Christ says and on what Christ values, just like we're trying our best to do. And number one, it's so cool to see Greg and his family and the way the Lord is working in their lives and the way Greg and Joanna now are trying to raise their children in a similar way. But I think that can really, that challenge can really be issued to each one of us. Can we say that about our own lives? To the people around us, to the numerous multitudes of kids in this room, could we turn around and even just look around the people sitting around you right now? Are we at a place where we can say, be imitators of me as I imitate Christ? Is your life something where you're really laying it all down to follow Christ, to seek his will for your life, and where you'd be comfortable turning to the person sitting next to you and say, hey, like, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Like, if you imitated me, you'd be doing well. It would be pleasing to God. That's a convicting statement, because as I say that, I know there's areas in my life where that's not true. But that's a question I think we should all ask, especially with the number of kids in this church. We each want to be able to say something like that. And then maybe, especially to the few and far between, but the older, more mature folks in this room, even if you're not older necessarily, but you've known Christ for a long time, as you look around this room, there may be people who they need someone they can imitate. They need someone who can say, hey, this is how you love your wife. This is how you work long, hard days and you come home and you serve your kids. This is how you keep your temper under control when you had a stressful day at the office and you just want to kick back and put your feet up. This is what it looks like to serve Christ with your finances. When you get that bonus and you're tempted to spend it on this great vacation, this is how what it looks like to kind of wrestle through that and figure out, is this a good thing or is there something else God's calling me to do with this? And so I want to issue that challenge, especially to the folks who've known Christ longer in this room. Look around. There very well may be people all around you who are just crying out for someone who they can latch onto and have that example and bounce those questions off and learn from. And you might be that person. And so seek the Lord on that. I think that God would do something there. So I'm going to pray. If our ushers want to get ready to pass around communion, we'll take communion together and then we'll wrap things up. But let's just pray. Father, we are grateful for the examples that you've given us. Lord, we're grateful that Jesus changes lives. God, we're grateful that you don't leave us in the state that you find us. You grab a hold of our lives and day by day and year by year, you're changing, you're transforming us. God, thank you for your faithfulness to do that, your faithfulness to sanctify us, to make us more like Jesus. And God, I thank you for the people you've put in this church, for fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters and friends and kids. Lord, it's no mistake, as we said earlier. And so I just pray, God, in light of the encouragement Greg brought to us, that you would you'd make those connections, Lord, that we would encourage one another with word and with deed, that we'd encourage our children with word and with deed to follow Christ. God, help us with our lives to paint a picture that shows Jesus is so worth it and so valuable and so incredible that there's nothing else better. It's all for his name we pray. Amen.